Now, Nick, now I feel pressured.
I think there was something that you were wanting to do or say.
Yeah,
right?
There's something I've been trying to tell you guys for a little while here. It's that I want to steal the Declaration of Independence because I'm freaking Nicolas Cage!
That was really good!
That was actually really
good. I liked that!
Clear too that this has been sort of percolating in Miller's mind for a while, because you get these really nice, like the witness me and the silver paint, the chrome paint, and they talk about Valhalla and they talk about, you know, like dying a noble death, and there's all these kind of and with the women too, when they find the women, the old cronies who are living out in the desert, there are all these sort
many
of
mothers. That's what they call it. Many mothers.
There are all these suggestions of much, much, much deeper cultural elements that they don't feel the need to beat you around the head with the culture of these people. They just go, like, they never explain why they're doing this thing with the chrome paint. Like, they never explain that to you. You just go, oh, that's okay. This is something of a larger ritual. This is something that's manifested itself through the development of this culture. And I think that, like, Miller has spent a lot of time in this world, in
totally.
His head.
He's
you know, since the third film, he's, you know, been living there, and he's had this percolating way. And he's just the reason that these characters come across as so robust is that they're like icebergs. There's only a tiny little bit, you know, poking above the surface. And he knows and understands what these characters are and who they are and the deeper sort of parts of their culture. He just didn't feel the need to force it down our throat.
And that is just why I love it. Love it so much.
I do like the idea that's been percolating behind the scenes in his head for all these years.
Oh, like, I smashed up so many.
He's designing Happy Feet, and he's like, and then we have a car race chase thing. And
I personally love the word percolating. Like, I think that should be used in greater context.
Yeah.
Always.
I think if you probably looked in some of those scenes, there would have been. A friend of mine came up with the idea of an animal that was a desert penguin. And I think if there's ever a film where if you look in the background, you'll see a desert penguin, it's in, you know, it's one of the ones from Happy Feet.
Half lizard, half penguin.
Half jaw.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That'll work well.
All right. I think, is it TV time?
Absolutely. Well, do we have any more? Oh, wait, I have a quick movie.
Okay.
I watched the Minion movie last night. I went and saw the Minion movie, which is a prequel to Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2. I'd never seen Despicable Me or Despicable Me 2, so all I knew was they're those cute, annoying things, right?
They're the McDonald's toys.
It is an awesome, awesome, fun film. You don't just have to take kids. I enjoyed it so much. It literally follows three characters, Bob, Stewart, and Carl, three minions, and it gives the history of the minions. They were on Earth before, you know, we were walking the Earth as amphibians, and they're always just looking to serve the biggest bad they can, and that's the storyline. Mm-hmm. And then they end up in the 60s, and they it's just a whole lot of fun, really hilarious. Recommend everybody. I loved it. Like, I completely get why the minions are just so thoroughly entertaining, and putting them in the 60s, having all these retro jokes, really worked with the cartoon aspect that they created. It was really good. Sandra Bullock even wasn't as annoying as usual.
Bonus.
She's the big bad. And she's just always, ugh, that voice. Mm. But tons of fun. Go and see the Minion film.
Cool.
All right. Cool. All right. I think we are going to skip what you're reading. I've decided.
All right.
We've got so much what you're watching. So, do we want to go to Wayward Pines or Sense8?
Let's start with Wayward Pines, because how can we not?
Yes.
Only because Nick has been waiting like a month.
I have been flailing to talk about this one.
So flailing to talk about
spoilers,
it. You've just been going like
spoilers
this.
Are going to remain on.
Yeah.
So if you
yeah.
How's that sound
it,
again?
Tough titties.
Yeah.
It's a spoil.
Pretty much.
It's a spoil. It's a spoiler alert.
Perfect. Yep. Thank you.
That's nice.
I'm happy now.
Wash your detergent. Clean it. Yeah.
Right.
Where do we start?
What does everyone think? Yeah.
Where do you start? Why don't you give a little synopsis about what it's
all
about?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that I don't have to.
Yeah.
Meet Ethan Burke, Secret Service agent, car crash victim, a man out of time. So the story is following Ethan Burke, a Secret Service agent who gets involved in a terrible car crash when he's en route to look into the disappearance of a couple of other agents. And he wakes up in this sleepy little town in the middle of
Idaho?
Did you say sleepy or creepy?
Sleepy.
Well, look,
well,
it's
Idaho. Yeah.
601. It's definitely a yes to that one, yeah. Mm. And so he's woken up in this town with not much memory of how he got there. He can't find his ID, so he's having a hard time to convince people he is Secret Service and he's Ethan Burke.
But look at his eyebrows and come on.
Look at that
scowl.
Face. He's just terrifyingly scary, that totally. Guy. But he spends the first couple of episodes trying to figure out what's going on and what he's doing here, only to find the town is more and more unusual. He finds that there's no crickets. There's these little sound boxes hidden in flower beds, which suggests something strange is happening. People won't talk to him about what's going on because they say they're always being watched or they're always being listened to. And
Like Planet of the Apes, where the crickets have lost their voice, and that these little artificial cricket things is the crickets' way of maintaining the illusion.
Maybe the crickets are super giant and they've taken over and they're running
everything.
It's
all the my attention is now on the crickets.
Maybe it's Lord Jiminy who's pulling
all the crickets. Never trust a talking cricket.
Yeah. So what I thought was interesting was that the creators have said they were inspired by Twin Peaks, and when you look at the town you can sort of say it looks like Twin Peaks. But that's about where the inspiration seems to end.
Right, totally. Yeah. It doesn't
Everything
feel
from then
like
on
Twin Peaks.
Is more like something like The Prisoner, which is a British TV show.
Yeah, thank God. It's definitely a lot more like The Prisoner, yeah. Absolutely. But thank God they didn't try to Twin Peaks it up. I mean, from a visual stylistic point of view, I get it. Mm. But for a way to push out intrigue, it totally is more like The Prisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lost. It reminds me of Lost.
All the people are very normal people. There's not weirdos and kind of strange things like in Twin Peaks. They're just people who all seem to have been brought into this town in some way or another.
Now, I'm putting spoiler alert. I've only watched up to episode 2.
Oh.
But that's okay because I know that the whole episode 5, rah, rah, rah. But thank God they killed Juliette Lewis.
Really?
Only because she, I don't trust her in a television show to be given the right meat to continue the kind of stuff she brings to it. And I was so excited to see her and then just as excited because I was like, you know what? She's better than television.
Oh, wow.
That's my feeling.
That's probably a nice spin to put it
on.
Yeah,
no,
but it
is,
because
nice
I'm just like,
that.
Because my fear with television is always, ultimately, they have a narrative to tell, and they're going to take these really strong actors in a direction they don't quite want to go, but you're signed up for it, so that's what you've got to do. And I worry, because she's a very, very specific tone and energy that she brings, and I worry that would be subverted.
Well, they don't have to worry about that problem any longer.
Yeah.
Neither does Terrence Howard.
Well, yes. What do you guys think of Terrence Howard as the sheriff?
Love it. I mean, thank God he's finally doing something that's not shit.
He's an evil guy, though.
And that's I rewatched Iron Man the other day. Like, he was just bad in it.
Yeah, he was.
So it's nice.
He got paid more than anyone else to be bad in that film.
Whenever I watch that film, or whenever I think about him in Iron Man, I just think of, Tony, hey, Tony, you leave me hanging out to dry, Tony. And it's like, that's not War Machine.
No, that's exactly,
don't shoot me. I'm going to shoot you back, y'all.
It's just bad. But he's great. It's sinister, dark, really
he's
strong.
And the ice cream. Always eating ice cream.
Breaking into someone's house to have the... we need to have a conversation... while I steal your ice cream. Like, in flagrantly stealing ice cream in front of the person whose ice cream it is.
Is that kind of like, you know, the James Bond villains are always stroking the pets?
Yes!
Like, no, Mr. Bond. Yeah. Oh,
he's
no.
There.
I wonder if he had
ice cream
specific
headache.
Requests for... Well, that's got to happen. Like, there'll be a really nice
oh, it's
but
the
also,
thing.
Like, I wonder if they just want to fuck him over. If he pisses someone off, they're going to get a flavour that he just doesn't like. And force him to have to eat it.
The nutty buddy.
Doing shot after shot after shot.
Turns around, spits it out, goes, what was this? And they're like, it was foot cream. Ah! Yeah.
In your face, loser.
Well, we're spoilers?
Yes. Spoilers are
on. Oh, yeah.
He's gone now. He's not getting any more ice cream.
I sang the song.
Nope.
He's
dead.
See you later.
But then, of course, the last episode, episode 5, which is the last one that I've seen. And the episode's called The Truth. And the big reveal is what Wayward Pines actually is.
Yeah.
But
Fox Mulder's been running the whole thing.
Yeah.
My frustration comes from the fact that a lot of this so-called truth doesn't ring true.
Okay, so you've read the books, Nick.
Yes.
So do you want to say anything cryptic?
Yes, I will. I will say...
The truth is out there.
No, look, it's interesting you say that because the first book pretty much... ends at the same point episode 5 ended.
Oh wow, okay.
Because there's 3 books, but they've played with some of the other events. In the end of the first book, Ethan's taken out of Wayward Pines by the big bad?
the big guy at least, the big guy running the show, along with
what his name is.
Yeah, yeah, Professor Jenkins.
Yeah, Professor always plays the German scientist in movies.
Toby Jones. Yeah, yeah. And so he, Toby Jones or whatever he's called in the book, and the sheriff go out of the town, and he sort of goes, "This is the future, Ethan. This is what's happened. You know, I've done this to sort of save you and others. Oh, by the way, there's like 1,000 of those monster creatures coming at us." And the sheriff gets left behind there. And that's the doctor's way of saying, he wasn't with the program anymore. You're the new sheriff, Ethan. So it's kind of, they've played with things a little bit.
No
so
more ice cream for him.
Yeah. And in this TV show, they're really making the doctor out to be much more of a benevolent figure.
Yeah. He's kind. He's this quirky sort of character that lovable almost.
Yeah. Because every time we've seen him previously, it's always been like, how are you settling in? We need people like you. Here's my new trees I've been reading. I think they're going to work really well. It's like, oh, he's just such a nice Toby Jones Nazi scientist. And then he's outside going, this is what happened.
I love that the helicopter had WP on it. Yes. Like,
just in case.
Just in case,
it's all about branding.
Yeah, in case, like, while you're out there and the mutant creature's like, oh, it's Wayward Pines chopper. Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
It's a nice touch, isn't it?
Yeah, there's this nice piece of storytelling. I know Emma wasn't hugely fond of it, where the kids at the school, the new kid, is getting the induction as Ethan is escaping from Wayward Pines. And they do this thing where the kid, it's all being revealed to the kid as Ethan is discovering it for himself. And so that was really nice to sort of watch that unfold. Like,
well, in terms of just that storytelling technique, I liked that, how they sort of juxtapose, how they juxtapose Ethan, you know, like you say, figuring out what's going on with the induction. But I just found the induction scene, it felt a bit contrived. Like, it felt really cliche and sort of forced.
But this is what I was saying to Emma.
Scene, not as in the way she was explaining it to the kids. Yeah, the whole scene just felt a bit, I was like, oh, really?
I think we're supposed to, though. I think that was supposed to feel like a performance art. It was almost pantomime. Yeah. And we were supposed to be so distracted by what was being revealed that we ignored how it was being revealed.
Yep.
And I think that I said, there's stuff that they said in that just didn't ring true to me. And the notion that, look, we're going to tell you all these secrets. We're going to tell you what Wayward Pines really is. And it's confirmed. Ethan confirms some of this stuff is true. But then there's this cautionary tale where the teacher sort of says to the kids at the end, let me tell you about Barry McBarrison, or whatever his name was. You know, he was a kid that we told all this really cool information to, and he went home and he tattled. He told his parents. And you know what they did? They all committed suicide, and they killed him. They put the kid in the car and they committed suicide. So don't tell your parents, because they'll kill you. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, if you're going to tell the kids...
Can I ask, this is the thing that's confusing me. What's with the not talking about it?
Oh, we don't talk about it.
Yeah, why not?
That, just that is
the
a really whole, good question.
That's this the one is the thing. Where, what's the whole not talking about it? Don't talk about your life. Don't talk about the past.
Because there are mistakes in the way they're doing this. Like, they're defrosting people. Like, one, the woman that Ethan was there looking for has been there for 12 years. So, and when Ethan's wife was showing the house to the guy in this episode, she said it was built 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So my thinking is that Wayward Pines itself was constructed. Who by? The Egyptians? We don't know. 12 years ago, right? So
the minions?
Yeah, the minions. Possibly the minions. And they've sort of defrosted people out, like, in different order. Because Juliette Lewis thought it was 2001.
Yeah.
Whereas this other woman thought it was... She'd been there for 12 years. And then Ethan's defrosted. And they did that tricky bit of parallel... showing us the past at the same time as showing us the future.
Yeah, very smart.
Tricky bastards. But what doesn't ring true is this whole idea that, like, oh, the adults can't handle this whole Wayward Pines thing. They can't handle that the future. They've lived too long in the past. They can't handle losing the past. So we're going to keep this whole thing a big secret. We're going to tell the kids, but we're not going to tell the adults. And that doesn't ring true to me.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just what the fuck? Like,
why even throw adults out? Why would they
then kill themselves? Like, wouldn't you just accept it and move on?
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me.
And that's why I think it's bullshit. That's why I think the whole notion of giving the kids the induction, it's more about...
So you're thinking it's a double bluff.
It's more like, here, drink the Kool-Aid, kids. You know, then the kids, it becomes like the look out for the communists. Like, you know, everyone starts policing themselves. You've got, like, basically the Hitler youth, and now the kids in the school are now
watching. Okay, now that's kind of cool.
That's what I think's happening. I think that there's a an Orwellian kind of.
Just like,
I need a beard so I can.
Okay, all right. Am I on the money? Am I?
Do you really want to know?
My last theory was so far off. I need this
one. Really
No.
No. That's too much.
Join us 4 weeks time. We have 10 shows. Look, to be honest, I actually don't know where they're going to take it because they've changed a few things. So already I really like that scene with the kids exposition, dad out there with his shotgun shooting at shadows, because that doesn't happen in the books. It's a similar kind of thing happens in the books. The kids are being told stuff the adults aren't, but the way they express that and the level of depth they told them, it's completely new. So I sat there going, this is going somewhere else. So who knows where it's going to end.
So they're doing a Walking Dead kind of thing where they're going off the plot a little bit with the books.
Thank God, Games of Thrones have done that as well.
It's not a bad idea either because the books work very well together. Like they're not long, so they bang 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 very quick. The story runs very fast, but it feels like there's something more needed. It needs a bit more resolution, which I think the TV show having only 10 episodes is going to achieve because like they've already changed stuff. They know they've got to get that landing in 6 episodes of time or whatever. Four. You've got six this week.
Yeah, we've got six. Six all queued up, ready to watch.
They've got to wrap up a lot of things there, which...
So why is it not going to get another season?
What do you mean?
It's a miniseries. It's not supposed to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 10 episodes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
I didn't realise.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, that explains why they've got big names in it that they've killed off after one episode.
Well, that's true. Because when Juliette Lewis died, I was like, seriously? You paid all that money for two episodes? Oh, right. That makes sense.
Right.
I want to talk Game of Thrones. Can we move? Can I do that?
Yeah.
Does anyone else here watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't watch.
My God! All right, then I'll be quick about it. so they ended the season of Game of Thrones this week, and it was the most satisfying episode that the entire season has had. It's been a bit here, there, and everywhere. But the interesting thing that they've done is not just the Walk of Shame they did, where they had a character walk for miles naked through the streets, and that was quite fun. But there are some key points that they chose to take out.
Hang on. Fun for who?
I don't know. Like, this is the bitch of the show. And they were like, we'll try to have you kind of empathize and give her a human element. And I'm like, no, she deserves it. She's a C-bomb. And,
a clown.
Yep.
Clown shoes.
A little bit more auntie. But, you know, that's what happened.
Auntie
so
clown.
The interesting thing, all right, spoilers are once again on. Two things that happened that haven't happened in the books. Jon Snow got killed.
Oh my God.
Which is our point of view character for the entire show. So that's interesting. Right. And also they had...
Who is Jon Snow?
He's the point of view character for the whole show.
Were you listening?
Is he kind of like James
but
Bond?
But even though they've actually built in the reason why he's not going to be dead, they've already got a character there who's going to revive him. There's all explanations for it. But it is really interesting that Game of Thrones have chosen this season. I really hate that our conversation about the rape of Sansa got removed in the episode lost. But it's, by the way, totally not paid off in the way I hoped. But it's really interesting they've taken to kind of skew certain elements of the story to tell the story that they're telling. And I personally hope now the series is going to really jettison in the story that they're trying to tell away from what the books are doing. But we're going to just have to wait and see. I just thought that was a nice juxtaposition to Wayward Pines.
Yes,
and the way
in
which they're telling the stories.
Absolutely.
But no one else here watched it.
No,
so that's
sorry about because you know everyone else watches it.
Yeah, look, I loved it. I thought it was really great. I literally the picture of Joffrey that's on the internet of him looking shocked when he's actually being killed. That was me for the last 15 minutes of the episode. I love the crap out of it. Seeing Cersei get what she deserves a little bit was amazing. I'll put up on the Watcher Facebook page the call. There's a guy who dangled his knob at her, and the acting call for that was quite hilarious. But it was really strong, really, really good episode, really in a season that just hasn't had it. But I just don't know what... I'd love to sit in the writing room of these shows and just listen to them debate and talk about these things.
So that was season 5?
Yep.
How many years do you think they've got left in them?
Look, I think they're going to try to get at least 8 or 9. They're up to date in the books.
Right.
With season five, they have skipped a lot. They've merged a couple of elements and a couple of characters and a couple of storylines. They are up to date with the books. The next book's meant to be coming out this year or next year. The writer is one of the producers of the show. I think they're going to forge ahead with their story, which I'm okay with.
Do you think he spends a lot of time in the writing room just looking smug at everyone? hey, look, George, we're thinking of taking this character over in this direction. Have him do that. And he's like, yes, do that.
it would be interesting. But unfortunately, I do just want to quickly touch on, we talked about the whole Rape of Sansa in the episode that got lost. They really still haven't given that character the energy. And but the actress isn't given the meat she needs to really make that role something. And this is a character that's just constantly battered and beaten. Yeah. And when you have so many characters given so much more, it's really disappointing that she's still not given the chance to shine in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move on.
Yeah. All right. Sense 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it begin. Okay. So once again,
much good TV at the moment.
Oh, it's great. It's crazy. Okay. Sense 8, interesting. I'm at more ahead than anyone else here. I'm up to episode 10 of 12. You're at 4. Now, you were asking me before how I put on Facebook the picture of one of the Jads from South Park ejaculating all over himself on Facebook. And I put, I've just watched that scene in Sense 8.
Mm.
This is the scene and moment where the show actually comes together. So let's...
I'm sorry.
Literally.
It took you a long time to get that.
I didn't even realize that I'd said that.
We're so 12 over
here. But it does. So the plot of Sense 8 is essentially 8 people in different parts of the world are psychically connected and they're a part of the Sense 8. And they're a cluster of people who share a mind.
Are they a gestalt? The German
word? Telepathically.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if they, I'd say they, I wouldn't know if I can say they share a mind, but they like have access
to each
other. It's
like
others. A network of minds. Mm. They kind of,
it's like they're layered. Their minds are layered.
It's a great idea I think this is a series that was specifically made for Netflix. Something you can put up and put down. I really struggled with it. I actually stopped. It's taken me, I was going to say a week, but I actually realise now it's taken me 2 because it came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, I've watched from episode 5 to 10. But it's taken me 2 weeks to watch the first 5 episodes. And this is the Wachowski brothers. It's written by Straczynski, who...
it's the Wachowskis.
Wachowskis. I always get them wrong. Brothers, and they're not brothers. Exactly. That's what I did wrong. Yeah. I apologize
Siblings.
For that. Okay,
Siblings,
things yeah. I think is really awesome about this. Problems with Sense8 is some labored scripting. It's got some amazing film work, and they create... in everything that they create, they do this thing where they have all these special effects and all these things that make you go, ooh, but there's this amazing moral, this amazing story there and this amazing energy. And this is a series that has that. I personally have an issue with the way Netflix has chosen to advertise it. They have taken, they have advertised it like it is this fast-paced action danger thing, and it's not. And that for me was one of the massive struggles when it started, because I was like, what? I got to admit, I stopped watching it 15 minutes in the minute the dildo hit the floor. That was the point that I turned the series off and thought I was never going to watch it again.
Really?
I was just like, the pacing didn't work for me. And I understand this is Netflix. So the pacing and tone and structure of a storyline can be different and should be.
Mm-hmm.
We should be accessing it in a different way. But there was something about the script was so labored.
Mm-hmm.
And it just did not work for me. I knew I was going to come back, but I clearly had to be in a different mindset. It took me about 3 more days, and everyone else going, oh my God, amazing, amazing. I still don't think it's the most amazing thing ever, but I think it's such an intelligent way of looking at the human condition and the emotions of characters and giving us a different energy to process things. Sorry, I've just started.
Yeah, no, I kind of
You go, you go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I kind of agree. I'm finding that I love the idea, the ideas that they're working with, that they're playing with in this series. But for me, in terms of really getting into the story, I feel like it's taking a while to get to the heart.
And can I tell you, you're actually at the point where the heart happens. And that is the moment I put that picture on. Can I tell you what the moment is? It's not a huge spoiler.
Also, it's just not a huge spoiler.
I've seen this whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
Is it not a huge spoiler?
Within their minds, they have sex.
Oh, wow.
And that is the point where everything flips, because they all kind of join in some sense.
How awesome.
And it's a really... this moment, beautifully shot. Really, and so much... Like, for me, personally, I'm just geeking out over the whole, oh my God, like, you would have had to fly that person over to there to be able to film. And this is, like, just such a great acting challenge, because the connective flow that we're getting and the redoing with it, it's just so interesting to me on that level.
Mm-hmm.
As a storyline, I think it's really fun. I really enjoy that Daryl Hannah... shot herself at the beginning because I thought that was really great. I could have seen that more than eight times. But it's just, it, for all its positive, it just has as many negatives. And that's okay, because it's certainly not a show I'm putting down.
That's the good and the bad kind of feels like part of the texture of the show.
Oh, completely.
You know, like that.
It's very deliberate.
Oh, absolutely. If characters have moral flaws, and in fact, they rely on those moral flaws to tell part of the story. And yeah, I think I had kind of the opposite reaction to you. I devoured the whole thing within about 3 days.
Wow. The first four episodes were so hard. As soon as that done, like, I'm not joking, I've watched episode 5 to 10. Today, as soon as we hit, and it wasn't that so many things picked up, there are still moments that drag and energy that just doesn't seem to shift the right way, but they moved everyone's personal dialogue in it, and it's not just about their minds coming together, they actually move everyone's dialogue in an interesting way. The character that I loved the most from the very beginning, which is one of the things that irritated me because they aren't referenced a lot, was the Indian woman. She doesn't get as much until like the third or fourth episode, mm-hmm. or maybe even the fourth and fifth. And for me, she was just the standout character of the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that storyline. And even though you're forcing me in this direction, I wanted that storyline to happen. Personally, as a gay guy, I fucking love the shit out of the fact that, and I didn't even realize this, we've got a transgender character playing a transgender person playing a transgender character. I'm really looking forward to the day that we have transgender people acting and being able to play straight characters. That would also be really nice as well,
mm-hmm.
Society. But what's really great is having that kind of looked at and explored and watching. There's a scene where the closeted gay guy in his mind has a conversation with the transgendered sensate. And I was literally just like, holy fucking shit. I didn't even think that this would happen. And this is so logical. And it's been there the whole time. And what an amazing thing for two characters who have something similar in common, but something so different, but still, and it can, it was great. And for me, I just thought that was really smart.
Well, I'm really looking forward to getting into episode 5.
You are literally on the cusp of it.
Yeah, because I have struggled a little bit, but I've really kept with it because everyone's like, oh my god, Sense8, and obviously, like you've already mentioned, just the diversity.
Yeah,
it's brilliant about this show is
the diversity,
you know,
the personal, the tales, the structure and energy in which they allow you to devour it and allow you not to devour it. And that's what shits me. But Netflix have made it look like it's a gun shooting totem. And that actually really shits me to tears because from what I know, and I've only got 2.5 more episodes to go, it's not that at all. Mm. And
the last 2.5 episodes really pick up as far as the action goes.
But I don't need it to.
It doesn't. But I don't either. As far as I was concerned,
the human condition is everything.
Absolutely.
I'm loving about this.
And like there are even elements of the story that I came away from the series going, they left me a bit flat.
You feel like it's Hero season 2, right?
Well,
like,
I don't know.
We're the world. We're in different parts of the world. We're this. We're that. And this wouldn't work on anything other than Netflix.
No.
Let's be real.
Well,
but yeah.
The last two episodes are all...
so have you watched it all as well?
Yes.
Sorry, I forgot. I've
watched everything. And the last bits are all mind gun fights.
Yeah.
Where they just take on each other because they disagree on something and they just shoot each other with mental bullets until there's no one left standing. Then the next season's going to be Sense 1 because there's only one guy left and he's a little lonely now.
Yeah.
No.
It's a really strong.
It makes a connection with the Hackasaurus Rex.
I'm not wishing myself over it like everyone seems to be on the internet.
Yeah.
I kind of just go, okay, it's really good, but
yeah.
That was my reaction to Wayward Pines. That's not my reaction to Sense8. And when people are having that reaction to it, I'm just kind of like, maybe you need to check your internet at the door.
I think we're learning a lot about you. No. I really enjoyed it, and I really connected early on to it. And there was just something about the heart of the show that really just drew me to it. And if it's worth watching the series in its entirety just for the callback to the orgy scene.
Yeah.
in the final episode.
In all seriousness, just do stick to it with it. I'm not at the end yet, but it is worth sticking with. The interesting thing I do want to touch on, just as a quick social commentary, because why the hell not? This is a show full of diversity, gender. It really, really does a smart job of, and you can really tell that these are people who have travelled the world, so their representation of it and ethnicities, it's really strong. But what's really interesting is how much the advertising and pictures focus on the white people.
Mm.
In a show that is full, and not the trans people, and not even the gay people.
Yep.
They really focus on the cop and the annoying blonde a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit like, really?
Yes.
Really? When you have so much more. And how great was it to have everyone think this character is a lesbian and find out by episode 2 that that's actually a trans woman, a transgendered individual, I'd rather say. But having it actually be that... And go, oh, okay, well, that kind of makes sense and kind of this. And imagine if they'd done that double bluff in the advertising. Like, it's just a little bit disappointing that's the choice that they've chosen to make.
Yeah.
Since the show is so strong, and you didn't even have to do it in a bad way, but the simple fact is, you turn on Netflix, the image is of the cop and the white chick and no one else.
Mm.
Have you gotten to the point where you've met the annoying white chick's father yet?
Yeah. My God, yeah.
I fell in love with him.
I know, but that's finally, I've got something to touch on with this character.
Yeah.
She, I'm like, even as a DJ, I'm disappointed in you.
I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think the diversity of the show is really what makes it so sweet and so beautiful. And I do like that diversity is kind of like... They're all good guys.
Yeah.
They're our main, all, you know, yeah. As diverse as our eight people, our crew is, they're all the good guys. The bad guys are every other color. There are lesbians I wanted to punch in the face.
Oh, totally. And then there were the nice lesbian who gave her a hug. Oh, and I wanted to punch her just because she couldn't deliver a line properly.
Well, that's reasonable. Yeah.
Fair enough, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's really strong. And it's just a shame. Maybe I'm going to contact Netflix and ask for an interview. Maybe I'll do that. Something to think
about.
Maybe
you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about punching lesbians.
No. It's such a great show, and I'm not even at the end of it. But I'm, it's really strong, and it's really nice to see people creating something and using Netflix as a way that it can really tell stories in a different manner, because it's a tool that can, so why the hell shouldn't it?
I'm super excited to continue it now.
Yeah. You are literally on the cusp of, you will, you and it's not even that I'm not sitting here going, I must. I struggled through the first 4, and once we hit the tipping point of 4, I was like, okay, I'm seeing something now.
Mm.
And what I'm loving is that what I'm seeing is not the hyper moments. They are happening, and the building things that are happening are not what I'm interested in. It's there and it's traveling the story along, but it's this personal touch and connection that for me, I'm just like, fuck yeah.
Yep. Awesome. All right.
So
cool.
Nick has things to watch, I think we can all walk away with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Minions and Jurassic World and something. I can't remember the name. It's got an 8 in it somewhere. I don't know.
Mm, yeah, something.
Get onto it.
It's on Netflix. And so we're skipping what you're reading.
I think we should because we're like...
Yeah, we're over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be editing fun.
Yes. Yeah. Have fun with that.
I will.
I think
we're at the end of the episode. I want to say a special... you guys aren't going to hear from me for a few... episodes. I'm going on a holiday. I'm going to England. I am going to be recording an episode over there, probably, because then everyone else can have a break and just go to dinner. But I'm going to be listening to the episodes. I'm going to be editing them, and I'll be jumping onto the Facebook and the Twitter, and I'm hoping to go to Manchester Comic Con and get my geek on. But I'm looking forward to hearing The Watcher while I'm away and what you guys bring to the table, because I'll miss you already.
Aww. And we're really looking forward to your English accent you're going to be using.
Yes.
Oh, cool, blimey, mate.
Oh, wow.
Still looking forward to it. Still haven't heard it.
I will just get really, really drunk with English people and then record some things and just put them
in the
episode.
Yes.
Do it.
I like it already.
It'll happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, guys. Where can they find us?
You can get in touch with me at Dean Curie on Twitter.
You can find me at The Maven herself on Twitter or Geek Maven on Facebook.
You can find me on Twitter at The Excitable Boy, and I'm still after those questions. It can be any question you like, from how to get wine stains out of walls or mayor of any city in the world, including Atlantis, which one would it be? Anything. Please send them on.
All right.
And
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking of questions. Elroy Online, pretty much that's my website. That's me on Twitter. You can find
just
me
everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Just it Google out. It.
Well, I beat Elroy, some other asshole called Elroy. I beat him to the Facebook tag.
Nice. Like,
yeah,
it's always satisfactory with that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm terrible at the watcher thing at the end. So if it's
watch your wayward pining.
Watch your tangenting.
Watch your hipstering.
Watch your Nick Caging.
Watch your Nick Caging.
Yes.
We want to hear about it. See you guys.
Bye.